Today we're diving into the real story of James and Jenny. James, a 35-plus-year company man who was forced into early retirement with just $900,000 saved. Can him and his wife stay retired, or will he have to go back to work? Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where we aim to empower you to make smarter financial decisions.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
And we are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm dedicated to helping you focus more on your life, worry less about your money. We've helped over 3,000 individuals and families do just that. And we have a great case that will hit home to many of you out there today.
Yeah, we're talking James and Jenny, a case that you've been able to sit down with here, Jarrett. Mm-hmm. And like many people out there, they faced uncertainty and kind of the unexpected of forced retirement.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Do you retire early because you were forced with confidence, or do you have to go back to work, find a job that maybe pays less money? That's what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with these types of cases that a lot of people overlook is the internal struggle. And we'll talk about that with James, who was the worker who was forced out to retire early. Didn't want to do that. He wanted to work a lot longer than he was able to. And there were some circumstances along the way that played into that decision that we had to discuss.
Yeah, and sometimes it's tight. Sometimes it's, hey, it's a blessing. You get forced retirement and you were planning on going in the next, you know, year anyways. I've seen many times where that has happened and it works out really great. In James' situation, he had a long runway still going. Loved what he was doing, right? And planning to work for, you know, probably 5 to 10 more years potentially. So let's talk through the case. James, yep. And Jenny, came in for a retirement tune-up. Walk us through, kind of that first meeting and what their objectives and kind of the hot topics were.
Yeah. Before I do that, if you guys enjoy this conversation, the discussion, if it makes sense to you, make sure you give us a like, subscribe, turn that notification bell on so that you can get more content and more case examples, real life, real world examples each and every week here on the channel. So yeah, they came in for a retirement tune-up, and I've been working with James and Jenny now for a while. So this case has been ongoing for multiple years. And basically James hit me with it. I said, "What brings you in to see me today?" And he goes, "Well, my life just turned upside down." And I said, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Well, I've been working at the same company for 35 plus years. I love what I do. It's my identity. It's how I structure my entire day. I'm not ready to retire, but the company that I work for was just sold, and the new ownership group came in and cleaned house, and I was one of them." And I could tell immediately that it was a shock to him, because he was an executive level employee. He was well respected at the company. He wanted to work. He was 63-ish, 63 and a half when he came in to see me. And he wanted to work into age 67, 68, 70, maybe longer. He, going into this, he had never even thought about a target date retirement. It was, until I don't like what I do anymore, I'm not even going to think about it.
Yeah. Well compensated.
Yep. He's making good money.
Loving what he's doing. They're spending without thinking.
Yeah.
I'm assuming
one of the issues that we ran into, this harder.
They made more than what they were spending, so they never even thought about budgeting or anything like that. From a saving standpoint, they saved through the 401k. Mm-hmm. So through work. And then all of a sudden you get this slap in the face, and one day you're employed and everything's going one direction. The next day, here they are in front of you. So like, how do we attack that?
Well, and I'll add to that. I think they had too much confidence in James's runway. And what I mean by that is, in his mind, he knew he was willing to work later. So due to that, they spent more regularly than they probably should have and didn't save enough, because they weren't planning to be having this discussion this early in their life. So I feel like they had a false sense of security that they had more time. And so they come in and honestly, they were battling with two things. James didn't really want to be retired. He hadn't thought about it, what it was going to do to him socially. I mean, he told me, you know, it was probably 2 months after this happened that they finally came in to see me. And he told me that he was still waking up because he worked from home when he wasn't on the road. Because he traveled a lot, that he would wake up at the same time he always did when he was working, and he'd go downstairs and put the coffee pot on, and he would walk into his home office, only this time to do what? And his wife chimed in at that point, and Jenny said, I don't know what he's doing in there. He sits in there for 4 or 5 hours on his computer, and I leave him alone, but there's no work to be done. So I took that as James is searching.
Yeah.
He's soul searching right now. He was looking for other jobs. He was trying to understand if he was going to do that or not. At the same time, and this is what complicated the entire process, Jenny had a pretty major health issue that popped up in the midst of all this. So imagine the stress. James is retired all of a sudden, doesn't want to be. Jenny has a major health scare that they have to address. And so we spent a lot of time talking about what retirement would look like and what it would be like, and how he could come to grasps and terms with this new identity. I mean, he worked at the company for 35 plus years. It's all he knew.
Yeah. It gave him his purpose, right? Yeah. And it's kind of going back to, I mean, heck, when we're meeting with people who are ready to retire, but maybe loved their job, had a good social life through their, you know, job, a lot of their coworkers, these are the conversations we have with a lot of people is, are you sure you want to do this? What are you going to do in retirement? And so he didn't have a choice, right?
He didn't.
This was boom. This is what we're doing now. And we see this happen where people, you know, go looking for another job at 63 and a half, a higher, you know, wage earner, can't find anything, or you're taking a massive pay cut to do maybe even more work.
Well, James experienced that too, because he had been on the job search since the day he was laid off and let go. And he had offers. They were less than 50% of what he was making before.
More work.
He's a prideful person and stubborn, and he couldn't accept that.
Yeah.
You know, and in reality, that probably would have been okay. But then Jenny's healthcare scare comes into play, and to his reluctance, by the time we got towards the end of those first couple of meetings, it was clear to me that he wanted to retire for her.
Yeah.
And he was going to get his stuff together,
yep,
you know, on his personal side, and he would be okay there, because we had some conversations, but it was a matter of, all right, I need to be retired because Jenny's going to need me. And we don't know where this health scare and this health issue is going to go. And at the end of the day, it came down to the same question that we get from almost everybody that walks in. If this is my reality,
do I have enough?
Do I have enough?
Yeah.
And quite honestly, it wasn't enough based on the way that they were actually spending leading up to that moment.
Yeah. So they had about $900,000 saved. He's forced out prior to Medicare age. So we got probably health insurance costs that we have to cover through Cobra.
He was doing Cobra at that point. So it was kind of, that lined up perfectly because it was 63 and a half. 18 months of Cobra coverage. Yeah. It did get him to Medicare, but it was expensive costs. Coverage out of pocket for Cobra too.
Yeah. Like I said, the only savings tool had always just been through the 401k. So you're done saving.
Not a lot of money in the bank because of that.
You now have to start thinking about, does that 900 grand, can it kick out what I need? So walk us through like the strategy that was kind of discussed then at that point and you know, how James and Jenny kind of battled through this at that point.
Two parts to it. The first part is I had to have a serious discussion with them about their budget. In order for this to work, which I did feel that it would work, that they would have enough money if we did some proper planning, they were spending too much. And so I just point blank asked them, is there anything in your regular monthly expenditures, your cash flow, the way you guys live, that even if you don't love it, that you could get rid of? And there were things that they said, hey, you know, we don't need to do this. We don't need to do this. We could do less of this. And so we were able to shave a couple thousand dollars off of what they had been spending. That was a great start. From a strategy standpoint, kind of conservative investors, we talk about family A, B, and C, You know, family A is you're all risk takers. Family B is they love safe money and they hate market turmoil.
Right.
Family C is kind of a combination of the two. They were pretty much a family B. They were Mr. and Mrs. Saver. Fixed interest was a blessing to him. So what it boiled down to is we came up with this budget number that they thought from what they were spending, they could cut it down to X. And of that X, how much of that need was absolute necessity? They had to have it coming in. And so what we ended up kind of pitching and going with was what we call a flooring strategy, where we figure out what are the absolute base monthly income need necessities. What's that number? And let's take a portion of your asset pool and make sure that we cover that to where that is as close to guaranteed as possible to coming into them without markets influencing it and without them waking up and going, oh gosh, we have to cut expenses again.
Yeah. And then, you know, so then we have discretionary. Hey, it's, at the end of the day, he worked his tail off.
Mm-hmm.
We are in retirement. We don't want to give too many things up. We still have hobbies. What was the strategy? I mean, I know you guys talked a little bit about, you know, how do we get more purpose now in life? Maybe we can tie these together and do a little bit of both.
Yeah, this was
that can help the overall plan.
This was kind of, I don't think he had ever thought about this because we mentioned he was on the job hunt, right? And he was trying to replace his career. So I started asking him about his hobbies. What do you like to do for fun? What do you enjoy? Doesn't even have to be a hobby. You know, he likes to golf, but not so much that he needs to golf every day. He likes taking the boat out, but they don't take it out. He actually works more on the boat. So what do you mean you work more on the boat? He's odd. They have a Lyman boat. It's a wood boat, if you're familiar with boats. And Lymans require a ton of work. And honestly, Lyman owners probably spend 80% of their time working on the boat and 20% of the time using the boat. So he thoroughly enjoyed the, I mean, he's an engineer type of brain. So he's very meticulous with organization and cleanliness and detailing. And he loved the time that he spent actually working on the boat. Come to find out, he had worked long before his career doing that. And it was a job that he loved. So I just kind of suggested, I said, hey, how many people do you know in this area that own boats that could use detailing? And it was like a light bulb went off. I said, hey, you could make some side cash, call it a side hustle if you want, really help your expense picture here.
Especially the discretionary stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Some of that stuff that they were reluctantly giving up. I said, you don't necessarily have to give all that up. You're still young enough and able, and this doesn't have to be a full-time position. So I feel like those first 6 to 8 months that we worked together until he found that gig where he was able to get a few clients and create a side income, he was struggling with an identity. And once he finally got that, everything changed. They went from, oh my gosh, this is devastating, the timing's horrible, to this is the best thing that ever happened to me, being let go at that time, because I would have never retired this early. And I would have never guessed I'm enjoying my time as much as I am now.
Yeah. And so when I look at a case like this, like obviously they're doing well now and they have a, you know, a plan in place, and you can't start soon enough though. Right. Like now think if James and Jenny would have thought maybe just a little differently prior to this happening.
Right.
Saved maybe a little more just for those uncertainties instead of, you know, just kind of, hey, I'm making a good chunk of money. Life's good. I'm loving my job. You know, so I think there's some things, and there's more than just forced retirement. There's sickness.
Yep.
There's your health that can fail or a loved one. There's a lot of different unexpected things that can slap you in the face or alter your plans if you don't kind of start planning for them now.
Yeah, I think they learned their lesson. It worked out for them.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just suggestions and guidance on my part. They did all the hard work.
Yeah.
They're the ones that cut their budget and found some side income hustle and, you know, and made the numbers work, and they're thriving in retirement today. But it just goes to show you that if I don't care what your plan is, if you know, you're one of those people, and we meet them all the time, I'm never going to retire. Unless you're a business owner, and even when you're a business owner, you don't know that. You right. just don't know that. So it pays dividends to have a contingency plan and to actually think about what if this doesn't work the way I mapped it out in my mind? What if it's earlier than I expected?
Yeah.
Am I doing enough things? Here's the other thing. How many times has a client told you, I'm happy with work, I like what I do, and a year goes by and you sit down with them again and you have the conversation and go, how's everything going? And they go, I don't know if I can take another day of work.
Right.
Like how fast it can flip. New manager comes in, new supervisor, new department, you get moved around, they ask you to travel, and all of a sudden what used to be a 5-year timeline becomes a 2-month timeline.
Absolutely.
So I you can't stress enough. I think you make a great point. You've got to look at this now. Don't wait until the trigger event happens every single time.
Exactly. So like whether you have a plan right now, or you think you have a plan, or you're sitting here watching this going, well, gosh, I have no plan as it stands already. Plus, you know, if an unexpected event hits me, I wouldn't know what to do. You know, now's the time to start looking at this stuff, you know, either get a second opinion, start diving into this, educate yourself on what your contingency plan looks like.
Here's an easy way for you to start. There is a link in the description below on this video. We have a community of people just like you subscribing to what we call the Ascend 360 Insider. This is a weekly email video series where the CEO and founder of our firm, Mr. Bill Smith, goes into great detail on all sorts of different planning situations, financial topics, questions. It's absolutely free, complimentary. It's so easy to join. Just click the link, become an insider, and start educating yourself. And that's a great first place to start.
And don't forget, like, subscribe, share our video, drop a comment below if you have a situation about your current situation that you want us to talk about. We'd love to come to you each week, bringing a live case to all of you to educate.
Look forward to talking about your case. We'll see you next time on Rise in Retirement.